The last thing you want is for something to go wrong with your plumbing. But it happens. A lot. And the last thing you want when there's water spraying all over your kitchen or your toilet is overflowing is looking up reviews on which plumber you should call. So let me save you some time. Call The Art of Plumbing. They're always on time. They can locate the problem and fix it right away. They even help with solutions to stop any future problems. Save time. Call The Art of Plumbing today. 541-951-9405.
Hey, come take a walk with me. Not like you usually do. Do something different. Put yourself in other people's shoes. Open up your mind and open up your eyes and change your direction. Change your perspective.
Welcome into Other People's Shoes. As you know, I am your host, Neil Matthews. It's so amazing when we can get into the Pacific Northwest. By the way, being a Pacific Northwesterner, is that a thing? I don't know. Did I just make up a phrase? Maybe. We'll press on. But I don't think our show has actually ever gone into the state above us, which of course is Washington. So all the way from the great city of Seattle, my beloved Seahawks are there. The Moose team, as some people may call them. The Mariners, by the way, if you're not familiar, they have a moose. Anyway, it's a thing. But I will add this to this. It's always great when I get to sit with a mom because I feel like we get more of a tender heart. We get more of this just loving spirit. And this person is no exception to that. She is a mother of eight. She's been married for just a really amazing amount of time. She has an awesome husband who is super supportive of her. And she also does this really cool thing that we'll get to down the way. I know we will. We'll make time for her. Don't worry. There is this little thing that we're going to talk about. What is that? Well, you're just going to have to wait. You're just going to have to hold your horses. As my mom used to say, let's put a pin in that and we'll come back to that. So, but help me welcome in my guest without further ado, Meg Gleisner. Meg, how are you today?
Hey, Neil, I am doing well. I love having a friend up in the Pacific Northwest. Love me some Oregon people.
Well, that's great, right? So it's always great when we can just kind of drive up I-5. You know, I always like to say we didn't even have to take a flight. Although from, I think, Oregon, where I'm at in Southern Oregon, to Seattle, I have flown through Seattle. Like, I've been to SeaTac. Have you ever been to SeaTac? And was it as crazy as it was for me?
How many times have I not been to SeaTac? We have eight kids. We're really involved with Christian ministry. I have been to SeaTac maybe 1,000 times.
Well, so I always tease that I've actually never been to Seattle, but I've been to SeaTac. And so people have always told me, you haven't actually been to Seattle then, because you've only been to SeaTac. Is that true? Can I honestly say that I've been to Seattle, or help me with that real quick before we get too far down the road, maybe?
No, you cannot say you've been to Seattle. And, you know, Neil, the last thing that I want is something to go wrong with my plumbing, you know?
I don't understand what you mean by that. Like, you don't want something to go wrong with your plumbing? What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I just happened to be like a little commercial. And one of the reasons I was so excited to be on your podcast is your plumbing commercial. Like, how cool is that?
Oh, you're referring to our amazing sponsor, that of course being Art of Plumbing. Thank you.
That
we didn't even plan on that, but yeah, we should probably talk about that sometime. But yeah, my brother-in-law is a great supporter of the show, and so that's a great segue, Meg. So Meg, first off, I know you're really big. You love Instagram. You're doing some cool stuff there. You're on Facebook, much like we are, of course. If you're wondering where we are on Facebook, that of course being OPS Podcast Show on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But Meg, what are your social medias of choice? And then we'll get into our very first question.
Social media of choice is, yes, Instagram. I have a Facebook group. And more recently, I'm on Amazon. And I also have my own personal app on the App Store.
You have your own app now, too?
I have my own app. You can look it up and download it. It is, I mean, how cool is that?
That's really cool. I love that. We'll get to that too, I'm sure, momentarily. And why does she have an app? Like, why don't I have an app? Like, some of you right now are probably thinking, like, I need an app. Why don't I have an app? We have app envy going on. I think we just came up with something else. But Meg, again, I feel like we're going down this crazy road, but we got to stop the train really fast. We're going to kind of just do a little segue here. So Meg, our favorite question, of course, to ask people is this, is Meg, what style of shoes do you love to wear?
Well, Neil, I brought my favorite shoes today, and really with 8 kids and trying to provide for everyone, I was a Payless girl before they went out of business. And with 8 kids, we were just happy to have shoes on the kids' feet. And it's only been the last few years where I was able to buy maybe a brand shoe. But one pair that I have that's one of my favorites is Vans. It's a skater shoe, and it's got rainbow laces, those fat laces. And I love these shoes because, and I have a pair of Snoopy Peanuts shoes, pink, that I got for my 50th birthday. And it just kind of says me. I'm kind of like playing with a little bit of sparkle. And one of my mottos in life is, why let the children have all the fun?
I love that. I love that you have some Peanuts on there. I love the Vans. They look very similar to our logo, some would say. So that's fun. So not only did you answer, you know, obviously what style of shoe you love to wear, but you kind of gave us a real good picture of that. So that was great, Meg. I love that so much. So getting into this idea and this question that we've kind of been, you know, on this new journey with, and that's this idea of what happened when. So, Meg, I'm just curious, what is your what happened when on April 26th, 2019, and why is that date significant to you and stand out to you so much in your mind?
Neil, that's the day I said goodbye to my mother for the last time. And it was a very memorable day. My mom had, she was only 73 years old, and she had a really rough last decade where she didn't really leave the house much, and she kind of lived at her computer, didn't venture out. I've lived in this house 15 years. She wasn't able to visit, and she smoked a lot, and she was a believer and a very generous woman, but I think there may have been some mental illness and things brewing that never really got treated properly because she was a very fearful woman. So she didn't want to try new stuff. Almost kind of a low level hoarder and just super, super, super fearful to where it controlled a lot of stuff. So her last decade wasn't her best decade. You know, she said a lot of hard things and yeah, but I love my mom, and we had a good relationship, and, you know, love overlooks someone's weaknesses and forgives. And she had an aortic aneurysm and was in the hospital for this surgery. So I could go into that, but I don't know where we want to go with, you know, this part.
Yeah. First off, so when you think about a parent dying, Did you have any idea what, you know, you mentioned your mom's relationship and the last, you said, decade or so was really tough for you. What were the prior decades like with her?
My mom is someone who has always been there and been available. You know, when I was 17, I got kicked out of the house when I lived with my dad and my stepmom because I was a Christian. They had said I was not welcome to live with them. I was a good kid. I had good grades. And when I asked to go to church, they had told me, you're not welcome to live with us anymore. And so at 17 years old, I got kicked out of the house, and I called my mom, and she said, come right over. So my mom has always been available. She's always been generous. She celebrates birthdays. If we come visit her in Arizona, she, you know, she'll take the kids shopping. So she's very generous. She's always had a sarcastic humor. She's a really fun person, really into games and that sort of a thing.
What made her passing so tough for you?
I don't know that it was tough because I had been preparing for it for years. At her 70th birthday, I planned a get together for the weekend at my mom's house, and we called it a retro weekend. And I planned it for all of her kids to come in Arizona. And I planned all the food that we had growing up. My mom was very quirky, very eccentric. You know, we had quarters catching on our elbow. We had a hamburger cake for her because, you know, all the funny stories in the family of days gone by. So I had been preparing for that day for years and really seek to live my life and my relationships, like buying up those opportunities that you have with people. So I was prepared for that day, but it was also hard. You don't know what you're going to do when you look at your mom and you see her through a window, a little glass window. And I had spent 2 weeks at the hospital every other night, 24 hours. I'd been hearing beeping in my head. I'm watching my mom slowly die with bags of fluid in her side draining. You see everything above the hospital bed. You see her, and then you see all the stuff on the ground beside the hospital bed, the blood draining, the fluid draining, and you're thinking, this is not good. And so when I peeked at her through the window that last time after I had kissed her and prayed with her, it just hits you really hard. This is the last time I'm ever going to see my mother.
What would you say to her now? If you got like one more chance to like sit with her and maybe have a meal with her or, you know, hang out with her?
I think I would have a great conversation with her, because the day she went in for this aortic aneurysm surgery and each of the kids got 5 last minute, one of my sisters and I had spent that night with her in the hospital room preparing her for this major surgery. And then the next morning, everyone got 5 minutes on my said, "Mom, how about you forgive your sister?" And I was holding her hand and she said, "I think I need to forgive your dad too." My dad was a very physically abusive person to my mother. So they divorced when I was 5. And I think that she never got over that. She went super internal and was kind of checked out in a lot of ways as a mom, single mom, raising kids. My dad wasn't good. So yeah, that was really hard. And so that day I looked at her and I held her hand and I looked her right in the eyes and I said, "Mom," because she was a believer, and I know she, more than anything, she wanted all of her grandkids to get saved. And I looked at her and I said, "Mom, we will look out for Conan, her husband, who's younger than I am, and that's a story in itself. Dear fellow who's loved her." I looked her in the face and said, "Mom, I will look out for Conan." And I said, "And you know I will be in your grandkids' lives to love them and pray God brings them all to him." So that's what so you ask, what would I say to my mom? I would love to sit with her and have a conversation. I made a tribute episode to my mom where I interviewed so many of her grandkids, some that are of faith, some that aren't yet of faith, and had them say what was special about my mom. So I would love to sit and hear her joy and see her weep at the joy of seeing all of her grandkids remember her and what they said, and also how much I've enjoyed getting to know Conan, because I call him at least every other week and we get to visit. And then my daughter Havla just said yesterday she was pregnant, and for the first time in a while I got teary-eyed thinking of mom, because she would be so happy that Javi's gonna have a baby. So those are things I would talk with her about. It would be sweet fellowship.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to, you know, even my own, you know, mom's story. And my mom has a birthday, you know, much like everyone else does, right? Every year, my mom has a birthday. And this last year, I was really struggling. My mom's birthday's in June on the 9th. And so I was really struggling with what to get my mom for her birthday. I'm sure you have 8 kids, Meg, which is still fascinating to me all in itself that Meg is a mom of 8. But Your kids have probably struggled with this too, like what to get mom for her birthday. And so, you know, I'm racking my brain. I'm talking to my sisters and like, what should you, you know, what should we get mom? And I had this crazy idea to get people together in my mom's life and wish my mom a happy birthday and then say something that they really love and respect about her. Now, my mom is relatively not that old. I'm not going to say how old she is because she'll hurt me later and probably ground me in some respects. But what I did is I called it the voices of hope. Because the backside of the story is my mom lost a very dear friend of hers from high school best friend. And the day they chose to have the service for her best friend was on my mom's birthday. It's the only day the family could all get together and, you know, say goodbye to their mom was on my mom's birthday. And so that's always been hard, right? You know, you think about your best friend, and then when you think about your birthday, maybe you coincide those two things together, right? And so with that, I created this Voices of Hope where, you know, people came together and wished my mom a happy birthday. And then I, of course, come in at the bottom, you know, at the end of all that, and I say, hey, mom, here's an idea for you every month on the 9th, because every month has a 9th, make it your day. Go and do something for you. And so when you're talking about those moments with your mom and the episode, and the reason why Meg talks about an episode, because guess what? Meg's a podcaster. She has this really amazing show called Letters from Home, and we're going to get to that down the way. But I say that because, Meg, that sounds amazing that you were able to do that with your kids. And of course, it would have been amazing if your mom heard that. And so as you're telling me that, I'm thinking about, of course, my own experience with that, of sharing with my mom this amazing moment. So do you think there is power in the value of a story? And why do you think you losing your mom's story has so much value, not only to you, but to maybe to others?
Losing a parent is a major thing. And by the way, I would love to hear the thing you put together for your mom. That sounds precious. Losing a parent's a really big deal, and you don't, until you hit your first really big moment where you lose somebody close to you, you don't know how you want. And one of the difficult things about losing my mom, and one of the reasons I'm sharing my story, like you said, what's valuable, it's really buying up those opportunities in our relationships and walking in forgiveness is so important. The last 10 years, my mom said things like to one of her grandsons, I not only unfriend you, I ungrandmother you. She said to one of my sisters, I wish you were never born. She said to one of my other sisters who had a different opinion, you're a moron. She accused me of cheating and being a hypocrite. And when you hear these really awful things, that when mental illness speaks and it's undiagnosed and you don't know that, and it's your mother and it's the one who you think is supposed to love you and care for you and say, you're a great parent and I love you so much. And she did say those things, but when you hear the other unfiltered, really rough, awful things, it can be a challenge to walk in forgiveness. And so because my husband and I live walking in forgiveness, Neil, that's part of our life and our choice. It was a great opportunity for me. It was a great, just with my mom's whole passing, I got to help her reconcile with her sister and my siblings. There were some unresolved things. And that verse that says we are ambassadors of Christ and helping others be reconciled to God in a spirit of humility, though, right? Like, nobody's better than anybody. If I didn't let forgiveness be in check, I would be bitter. I would have divorced long ago. But for the grace of God, when God is in our heart and in our life and we recognize He who's forgiven little loves little. He who's forgiven much loves much. And when God does that beautiful work in our life, it makes a difference. And we can be a healing balm to this hurting world, which needs God's love so much.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part about the human nature is this idea of forgiving someone. I've heard it said, and I'm sure you have as well, that, you know, when you forgive somebody, when you don't forgive somebody, it's like drinking poison, thinking it affects the other person. And for so long in my own personal life, you know, I drank a lot of poison because I was unwilling to, you know, forgive people and really let them go into that. And I think you almost feel like locked in a cage in a lot of respects. So I was curious about this, what you thought about that. And first off, forgiveness obviously is the key, but I was curious, do you know what the 10 most stressful events in life are?
I don't.
So according to thriveglobal.com, these are the 10 most stressful things in life. Number one is this: death of a loved one. Number two is separation or divorce. Number three is getting married. Number four is starting a new job. Number five is workplace stressors. Number six is financial problems. Number seven is moving into a new house. Number eight is chronic illness and injury. Number nine is retirement. And number 10 is transitioning into adulthood. So those are, they say, are the 10 most stressful things in life. But I want to highlight the first one, death of a loved one. Now, Meg, you kind of alluded to it at the opening. You know, you're like 50-something years old, because you kind of talked about that when we were talking about the shoe thing, which is always fun to kind of lead off with. But I'm thinking, like, in the span of your life, you could have picked any date in your life. You could have picked your wedding day. You could have picked the day, you know, your husband kissed you for the first time. You could have picked the birth of your child. You could have picked any date. But why the date and the death of your mom in your mind stands out so much?
Well, in a lot of ways, with my mom, I was the faithful, kind daughter who she never worried about. And so in some ways, I have been like the forgotten good kid in the corner, you know, the one who's always doing the right thing, always being a blessing, and then you don't know stuff as much. So when I was at the hospital with her for 2 weeks and I spent 24 hours every other night, I would spend sometimes, I'd get up 30 times in an hour because she'd say, can you move my foot? She'd tap on the side of the bed, or we'd figure out the lettering because she couldn't talk because she had the oxygen on, the ventilator on. And I was happy to do that. I was happy to lay down my life for my mom. And, you know, you hear everyone else's experience when they were in there. And that was just, so for me, part of that actual day, Neil, and I didn't want my story in any way to be a victim, because I'm not a victim. God's good. And I loved my mom, and there was many good things. But when I peeked through that window, I really wanted her to peek and look one last time at me. You know, I had said goodbye. I had prayed with her. I had been there every night, and I had helped her Skype with every single grandkid. I had helped her with forgiveness. And I just really wanted that last peek. And I have a picture of my mom with her eyes closed as I went. And she didn't. And I was okay with that, just like I had been okay, because you make that choice to say, and somewhere in my 30s, I realized, you know what? My mom's the mom she is. My parents are the parents they are. They're not in jail. There's so many great things to appreciate. My mom sends me gifts. And so you learn to not quit expecting them to be somebody else's parents, or to be the perfect this that's going to meet every need for you, right? And it's like, no, I'm just going to love them and just appreciate what's there. But that doesn't mean I don't have a whole slew of other things to deal with. And so I remember that date also because my mom lived online for 20 years. She didn't have any friends in person, and she was so fearful. She just wouldn't leave the house. She would send us all the food recalls. She had written a manual on how to organize the dishwasher properly. Like, she was OCD to an insane degree, to where when you walked in the house with the kids, she gave you a list of 20 rules. Like, my mom was very intense, also easygoing. So it's a very interesting combination. And when she, that day she passed away, she hadn't had her phone or electronics. It was the first night she had spent by herself, the night after I left. So when I said goodbye and I looked at her through the window, I walked through that hospital that I had lived at, still hearing hospital beeps in my head for a month after that, because I had lived there. I really think there was a little bit of PTSD from being there and seeing my mom die. And so that night I got home from the airplane and everyone said hi to my family. They were all loving and welcoming. And I just thought, I'll text my mom. And so I texted her and said, I miss you tonight, mama. And she said, I miss you too, honey. And then I said, I heard she had this procedure where they did something. It was so painful. And I shared with her the verse, Psalm 46, verse 5. I texted it to her. It is the verse that my then 13-year-old son Elijah shared with me. He had been reading Psalms and he said, Mom, I have a verse for you. And it was Psalm 46, verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And I texted that to my mom, and it was my last words to her. And that morning, she woke up. So the next day, April 27th, is the day my mom passed away. It was the first night she had been by herself all night long. And it's the first night a woman who lived online with electronics had a phone in her hand, the first night. And I got to have that last communication with her. And so that day, and I think of the verse, and it's like the Lord reassured my heart that he was with her during that transition.
I just think, again, when, you know, when we become parents, we become, of course, critical sometimes of our own parents, right? That we have, we're like, well, now I'm going to do it differently. Now, you know, they did this to me. They made me do this. They made me eat peas. They made me, you know, eat bananas. They made me do, you know, whatever. I'm not going to make my kid do that. I just wonder so many times that we have all these expectations, and I think you said that kind of already. Mm-hmm. You talk about these expectations. But would your mom be proud of who you are right now and the journey that you're on and what's going on with you?
Yes, absolutely. And she was before. And she just didn't always communicate that in the harsh, unfiltered, loose cannon barbs that would come out. Makes it hard, a little bit harder to trust. You want to pull away a little bit, or sometimes you have to pull away a little bit for your own protection, which sounds like a funny thing, but my mom, it got to the point where at times you almost had to set a boundary.
Is it because she was so harsh at times?
Yes.
And is that what makes it even hard to forgive her, is because you think, was this real, the mean and the harshness, or was this just her late stages of life and the mental illness? Because you remember your mom as a little girl, I would imagine. Was she not like that when you were growing up?
She was really checked out when I was growing up. I mean, she was abused physically very badly by my dad, and she really checked out. Like, once I ran away, she didn't even notice that I ran away. You know, it's like, well, she just was a very self-absorbed person in many ways. And again, we all have our weaknesses, and there's reasons that we're the way that we are. So I think I just learned to forgive early on. But looking back, you know, it doesn't mean that those things can still hurt. And this is what I told Mom a few years before she passed away, I said, Mom, can you rethink how you reacted to Pam's daughter and the choices that she's made? Because the legacy you're going to leave, you're trying to say that you love her by saying you're being ridiculous, and you're, you know, she would say something just outlandish, and I know inside of her heart she was really trying to help somebody, but it was so barbarous, and so there were schisms in the family, not talking to this kid. And I said, Mom, could you rethink maybe how you reacted? Because what is the legacy? I know you want this kid to find faith someday, but if this is how you reacted to this choice, what is the legacy that you're leaving behind? They're not going to be thinking, oh, Grandma Jean really loved me. They're going to be thinking, Grandma Jean said this to me. So, you know, I would talk with her in conversations like that sometimes to just rethink, you know, what is the legacy where you're wanting to leave behind? What are people going to be thinking about that if you don't? And she did end up reconciling that relationship about a year before she passed away. So I'm really grateful for that.
So going into this with your mom and challenges that you had growing up, I mean, there's a reason why you ran away, right?
Yes.
Can we talk about that? Can we talk about what led you to that point where you finally had to break away?
Well, that was when I was in elementary school, and that was a more minor thing. I could talk about in ninth grade. I lived with my mom, and she was dating a boyfriend, and she would spend 5 nights a week at his house. So I would be taking care of my little brother and sister and cooking for them. And we lived in an area with gangs in California, and it was not a safe place to be. And my mom, you know, she had a lot of bad choices in love and a lot of things going on where she just was, you know, kind of more self-absorbed and not as aware of us. And then one day she accused me of, she said, like, go get the medicine to give to your brother. And I went to get the medicine, and she said, you gave me the wrong medicine. Are you trying to kill my son? And I was like, what? And then I just kind of lost it. And we had this big kind of blow up. And I walked 7 miles barefoot. And oh, and Neil, it may have involved me throwing a shoe at my mom. My mom had accused me of doing something, and she's like, I've given you everything, you're ungrateful. And I was 13 maybe, and I said, I bought this shirt, I bought the shoes. Or she goes, well, I bought the shoe. So I picked the shoe up and threw it against the wall. And then I walked barefoot to my dad's house, and I ran away to be with my dad. And my dad was an alcoholic, and he was angry, and he was mean. And I remember wishing my mom would call and apologize. Oh, Mom, just please call, please call. She didn't call. And I remember sleeping under the bed at my dad's house, like I was scared. And I remember had like stuffed animals around me under the bed and thinking, Mom, please call. And I remember that little freshman me saying, I will never let her do this to me again. You know, like I was so vulnerable, and she never reached out. And she called me 5 days later and said, well, I'm sorry, you can come back and live with me. And I was like, no, it's too late.
What do you think led to her calling you 5 days later? I mean, she, as you said, she didn't notice for like, what, 4 or 5 days? Like, what do you think led her to do that?
Well, she may have probably immediately noticed the impact of not having a babysitter. I'm sure that's something that affected her. And I do think, and that's one thing that was really hard for my mom, and saying sorry and forgiving, saying apologizing for really bad behavior, it's really important. Like, we have since talked about it, and she feels terrible that she left me alone all those nights babysitting. And that she said that, but she's not one who's good at saying sorry for any of the things that I mentioned before. I don't know if she apologized for any of those things to people. And so when you have your mother saying stuff and then not apologizing anyway, so yeah, she called me and then she checked in with my dad, and she, like I said, so when I got kicked out at 17, a few years later, it was an opportunity for her in a way for restoration. And I wasn't a Christian then, so I was just, you know, didn't even know what forgiveness was.
So would you say the hardest thing for you and your mom was being able to forgive her? Or are there other things that maybe are still unresolved, or maybe there was something harder to walk through with her?
I think for me, Neil, that stuff's all resolved. I forgave her. I decided years, probably when she was 70, she was only 73 last year when she passed away, when she didn't make it through that surgery. And I told her that morning, "We're good, Mom." Right? And she goes, yeah, we're good. And like I said, I walk in forgiveness. So when those things come up, now occasionally you get a memory, right? And you're like, well, I'm mad that that memory was taken from me, or that, you know, Mom never did this, or, and then, you know what? And then you bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, it's yours. I told her I forgave her. She's forgiven. I'm grateful. My mom was an excellent gift giver. I love my mom. She was always there if you called on the phone. And so you choose to let that be in the past and forgiven.
But I guess what I don't know how to say this exactly. I guess what I'm trying to get at is the idea that your mom hurt you on so many levels.
Yes.
So many levels. She abandoned you in some respects. Maybe there was some, you know, verbal abuse at times. I mean, I don't know if she ever got physical with you, but I mean, it just seems like there's so many things in your life you have kind of a right, or, you know, not that you're demanding your own way per se, but you have justification for your actions, for perhaps writing her off in some respects, right? But you still have walked this road of forgiveness with her. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, if a mom may be listening who has maybe hurt their kids in some respect, or a mom who has, you know, checked out of a kid's relationship with her own children, which to me, I can't even understand or fathom, but it's happened even in my own personal family. How does one go about just saying, you know what, Mom, even though you did all this bad stuff to me, even though you maybe emotionally weren't there for me, how can that person forgive them? How can you, Meg, forgive them?
Well, it's the Lord's been so good to me, and He's forgiven me. Why wouldn't I forgive my mom? And yeah, it's a process of time where each season and each thing that you're going through at the moment, like when she accused me of cheating maybe 5 years ago and thought I was cheating on a Words with Friends game and said, "You're a hypocrite. You want me to come groveling to you and apologize? I will never do that." And you're thinking, first of all, I didn't cheat. I have weaknesses, but I would never cheat. And so processing that, wow, that was really hurtful. And that I was shaking when I got off the phone with my mom. And that's where my friend said, "Meg, you need to set a boundary with your mom. You can't give her that much place in your heart to say," I mean, and for me, that felt wrong. Like, I want to be generous and loving. I'm a Christian. I want to be kind to my mom and not pull back. I'm a daughter. I want to be vulnerable. You know, you want to have a mother-daughter relationship. But I would call her, but then, you know, I just wouldn't let her get as close for a time. But it wasn't something I didn't forgive her for, but it is something that hurt for sure. So I don't know, Neil. It's just something that God has done, but it is part of my story. I mean, I just shared some hurts, and we did have a great time of fellowship on the phone. We'd talk, or I knew she was praying for somebody else. It wasn't all the time. But it would be every couple of months, some crazy barb would come out. Crazy.
I heard this quote once, and I want to say it was on our very good friend Adria Wilkins' podcast. She's looking out for joy wherever she can. But she had this lady come on, and I think the lady's name is Tammy. And I can't remember her last name, but this. So I'm going to give Tammy credit. So if you, Adria, help me remember Tammy's name later on after if you hear this. But this lady, Tammy, comes on, and she says, words can be forgiven, but not always forgotten. Words can be forgiven, but not always forgotten. And that has gotten me just really perplexed. Is there anything about your mom's life that in any way encompasses that or fits into that, or am I just completely way off base with this idea?
Oh, no. I think great, great words of wisdom. And the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 13, keep no record of wrong. So we shouldn't have in our heart a file cabinet with somebody's name on it and all the list of the wrongs. That's how I think of it. I saw a visual of that one time, that there's a file cabinet in our head. The file cabinet with my mom and the card for my mom, it's blank. It's forgiven. But yes, I cannot forget the words that she told my nephew. I not only unfriend you, I ungrandmother you, because he posted something that was not even a big deal. And so many of the grandkids were like, oh, well, I guess Grandma Jean passed away. Like, part of it was mixed feelings because she had said so many harsh things. There wasn't so much of a sadness. And that makes me sad, because I want, you know, you want the legacy of your legacy to be, and some miss her terribly or in certain ways, of course, but you want your legacy, you know, they always say it's how you make somebody feel, right? And I just, if it's done anything in my life, Neil, having parents that aren't the most ideal, I think it's made me a more loving mama. And for those, like you said, women out there who are struggling, or maybe there's always hope. As long as we're alive, there is always hope. God can redeem. And I just want to say that list you said of the 10 hardest things in life, they must not have interviewed parents, because having a fussy toddler, having a colicky baby, having teenagers, having kids that grow up and are on the streets or on drugs, I mean, those are the things that really death and all the other things too.
Yeah, I don't know who they interviewed, by the way, for their 10 most stressful things of life. I don't know who they got, so I just, you know, just pulled that off the internet. So
it was a good list. Great list.
Yeah, it was a
great
list.
I want it,
actually. So Meg, as we kind of transition to land this plane that we're on, if you will, going from, you know, Medford to SeaTac, it's not that far. It's only like an hour and a half on the plane, maybe. But as we begin to kind of wrap up today, I just want to ask you this question. If you personally chose, because you, again, you had every right to, we all have choices, good choices, bad choices. But if you had every right to not forgive her, can you imagine just for a second the other side of that? If you chose not to forgive your mom, where do you think your life would be right now?
I would be bitter. I would be angry. I would be divorced, probably. I would let it rule my life, because I think, like you, I really care too much about what other people think. And I have heard you say that, and you know, we're human, right? And that's a struggle that I have. It would gobble me up. If I could give you the list of, I mean, my dad's offenses are much worse. And if I let that overtake my life, I don't know if I would be here, actually, because I think in some ways, what would be the point of living? But I have Jesus. So Jesus makes all things new, and forgiveness is so important.
Yeah, I'm just curious on that, because I think, again, the idea, if we're not walking or from what I'm hearing you say, if I'm not walking in a spirit of forgiveness, if I'm not walking in a willingness of forgiveness, I'm going to have, here's the side effects of what you have. Like you said, hey, I'm not going to have a very big marriage. I'm going to be, it's going to gobble me up. I love that you said that phrase. I'm just thinking of just like Pac-Man, just like munching everything in sight, right? It's just going to take over your whole life. And you're not going to really have a very pleasant, I think, existence on this world. I mean, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, so Meg, as we mentioned kind of at the start, the tease, you are a podcaster, much like I am. You have this amazing show called Letters from Home. How can people go and listen to it? And then, of course, tell us about this amazing app. Like, I didn't even know you had an app. That's so cool.
Yeah. And if you go in the Google Play or Apple App Store and just look up Letters from Home podcast, you can download it and it's free. And all of the stories are right there. And if you're looking for a boost in your faith, it's just kind of like Neil's show here, where you just hearing perspectives and hearts, and it lifts your spirits. And sometimes we need to be in somebody else's heart and shoes to hear the great things in their heart that we don't maybe have a strength in. And so I love podcasts, and yeah, I hope my podcast bless you. It's in all the places, and iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those things. And also I'm available. Maybe some of you are walking through a tough time of unforgiveness, or you've just lost a parent. And if I can pray for you, I'm available. My email is on my website, and I have a place to submit prayer requests, and I'd love to support you on your journey. It's not an easy journey.
Yeah, I think that's the key to life, right? Is this idea that we're not hopefully walking this journey alone, that we are actually walking with some people, and we're doing our very best to, you know, help them out in where their struggle may be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, at least in my opinion, that's kind of the key to life, is just to get this understanding and get this perspective, whether it's a shared perspective or not. You know, the idea, again, is just this, again, this idea that people can come around you and help you in some respects. So that's great stuff. So Meg, we're going to play a game, and then I want to have a final thought with you. Of course, you get the final thought. So my beloved North Carolina light blue cup is here to play our game called Senseless.
Hey,
Meg, you of course know we have five senses, right? You're aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to be clear. So I'm going to roll this die here. You can hear that kind of in the background. I'm going to put my hand over it so we get a little more shake up to it.
The famous cup.
This cup is very famous. And so Meg is actually Skyping with me currently. So you probably heard a little Skype hiccups every now and then, but Meg can see that. Meg, what number is that?
Cinco.
So
five.
That's five for those of you who don't speak Spanish. So I had to like Google that really quick. Like, what is she saying? What number is that? I'm just kidding. I know that word in Spanish. But Meg, being a mom, I think this is so appropriate that you got this question. So here we go. Question number five is this. What is your favorite thing to taste?
To taste. I would say food from other cultures. When our kids were younger, we would have an international night, and we would have them pick recipes from a book. Like, we picked Indian food, and I would have some of the kids do a little report on India, and we would have a prayer time for that country. So tasting food from other cultures. I'm also in a foodie group, and we got together a couple of months ago, and each one of us brought something Korean. That's right, Neil. I brought kimchi, and I know how to make kimchi. So I do love experimenting and enjoying tastes of other cultures.
No, I think that's great. And as a mom, I just had a feeling you were a foodie. I don't know why. Maybe that's being momism. I don't know what that is. I probably just, again, made up a new phrase. So with that being said, Meg, just kind of this idea of forgiveness in your show, and in light of all that, what's just kind of your final thought today?
Forgiveness is precious. Life is short. And the Lord is coming. And I just want to say, I really am looking forward to seeing my mom in heaven. And I know she's there. And John 14:3, the Lord says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Neil, I just feel like that is what our lives are about. We're just stopping through here on earth. So all the things that happen and go on, all the joys, all the blessings, life is short and the Lord is preparing a place for us. And I just am so looking forward to that. And I'm so looking forward to bringing others along to come with me there.
Yeah, I think that to me is one of the most amazing things about life is we have a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. Everyone who's listening has a choice right now. We can either choose to have this, as you called it, spirit of forgiveness, or we don't. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's either a yes or a no. There's no, well, you know, let me see if there's other angles to this. There really isn't. And so to me, that's kind of the key to all that. So Meg, thanks again for coming on. I do appreciate it. And of course, guys, if you're interested in what she's doing, she again has an amazing podcast, Letters from Home, and you can find that at lettersfromhomepodcast.com. Did I get that right, Meg?
Yes.
I did. Ooh, remember that. So, so guys, if you're willing, go check that out. And guys, I just want to call this to your attention. Our final thought for me is this, is who in your life right now needs this spirit of forgiveness? Like, who immediately, as soon as I say that, what's the first name that pops into your head? Take a second to think about that. So here's my question. Have you really walked in their shoes? Have you really walked in their experience? Have you really understood where they're coming from? And maybe there is a reason why they're who they are. Now, I am by no means suggesting or implying in any way that whatever that person has done to you is acceptable and okay and right. But just ask yourself this question. Are you tired of drinking the poison of not being able to forgive them? That's the question I would want to ask you. And you got to wrestle with that. That's between you and you and you, right? You and maybe that person. But I want to challenge you this next week. Ask yourself this question. Can I really forgive them for what they've done to me? And if you can, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why you can't forgive them. But if you can, are you then taking the steps to move forward where a place where you can get to a place where you can forgive them? Really, truly forgive them. And as Meg said, let it go. She's had to let some of stuff go with her mom. And guys, I think she did a great job telling us about that experience. And guys, well, we would hope that you would join us next week as we continue this journey of what happened when. Of course, guys, we will, of course, want to remind you, last, of course, certainly but not least, remember, when you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. On behalf of myself, Neil Matthews, thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned till next week when we walk in other people's shoes. Thank you so much for joining us on Other People's Shoes. As you know, I'm your host, Neil Matthews. Want to thank my guest, Meg, one more time. Guys, if you're interested in hearing more about her show, just remember Letters from Home. There is an app available, of course, in the Google and Apple app stores. Go search that out. Download the app. You can listen to the episodes that Meg puts out straight from the app. Pretty cool feature that she has going on there. Also, if you're wanting to know more about Meg, please check out our show notes. We, of course, have linked all of her information down in our show notes. I'm so excited about next week. I cannot even contain it. It just keeps happening. What am I so excited about? Well, two reasons. Here's a little sneak preview of next week's episode.
We had this full-on conversation like we've known each other our whole lives. And why did it take me so long to do that? Why did it take them to track me down on social media, my other two app brothers in Oregon? And now we share the occasional phone call and social media exchange and whatnot. And why wait? You know, we're not getting any younger.
I don't know how this keeps happening, but we get to go back to North Carolina. I feel like a little LL Cool J, but he sang this song back in the day, right? Going back to Cali, Cali, Cali. Cali, going back to Carolina, Lana, Lana. All right, I'm dating myself and really embarrassing myself, but it is my show, so every now and then I should be able to embarrass myself, right? We are going back out to North Carolina next week, and I'm so excited. This guest came to us from a really good friend of mine. She's a fellow podcaster. Her name's Jody. She puts out a show called The Air That I Breathe Podcast, but she introduced us to this gentleman. He's a brand new author, and he has an amazing book, and he also has an amazing What Happened When. So join us back here next Wednesday for that. In case you're wondering where you can listen to our show each and every week, that of course being opspodcast.com, home base for everything you may need to know about us. Not only our contact pages there, our store is there, the shoe store. It's amazing. You can leave a voicemail straight from our website. You can do all kinds of amazing stuff. Oh yeah, and you can even connect with us. It's a pretty cool thing. So go to opspodcast.com right now, bookmark it, look at it, take a look at it. There's a ton of stuff on there, guest appearances. There's all kinds of stuff. Oh, and an amazing feature that we just added not that long ago. You can be a guest. So if you're interested in being a guest, there's actually a tab now that you can click on to be our guest. So if you'd like to come be a part of that, of course, we would love to get you into next season. So if you'd like to know more about that, click on that tab. I'll tell you all about that. And guys, just remember, when you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. On behalf of myself, Neil Matthews, thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned till next week when we walk in other people's shoes.